Good morning. It is 9:14 a.m. We are hearing today, August 15, 2016, in the OPA Hearing Room, Suite 907 of the DNA Building in Hagatnya, Guam, for the formal hearing of OPA PA 16-006 and 16-008, Basil Food Industrial Services Corp. versus the General Services Agency. Presiding over the hearing today are Hearing Officer Anthony Camacho and Public Auditor Doris Forrest-Brooks. For the record, also present from the Office of Public Accountability are Rodlin Gerardo and Jared Hernandez. Will appellant Basil Food please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Good morning. Elise Ariarte of Ariarte Camacho Calvo Law Group, attorney for Basil Food Industrial Services Corporation. With me today is Michael Joe, the president of Basil.
Thank you. Will purchasing
Who's
agency
sitting in the back, rather than next to you.
Will purchasing agency GSA please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Nicholas Toft on behalf of GSA with the Office of the Attorney General, and with me is Robert Connell from GSA.
Thank you. Will interested party SH Enterprises please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Good morning, Joyce Tang for SH Enterprises. Present with me is Mrs. Min. She is the representative for SH Enterprises. Thank you.
Good morning, Ms. Tang. I think every hearing this so far, you have been present. Your schedule and my schedule almost coincide.
So for Ms. Min, is it? What is her first name?
H-U-I.
H-U-I.
S-O-O-K. We Sook, S-O-O-K-M-I-N.
M-I-N.
N.
He Sook. Min? Thank you. And your position is with SH?
Vice President.
Thank you very much. Now, do all the parties have, by now, all the parties should have been served with a copy of the decision and order denying the appellant's motion to strike the appearance of SH. Does that happen?
I received it.
Yes, we did. Thank you.
Very good. Then the next order of business is, are there any witnesses that the parties plan on calling in the hearing room at this time?
Yes, there are.
So what we'd have to do then is remove the witnesses to the witness holding area. So. Okay, we're going to do that. With the exception of the Director of Public Health, well recognized, Mr. Gilliard. Is here today. The rest, the OPA staff can remove the hearing room, except who else? Ms. Ariarte, who do you plan on calling as your first witness?
It was going to be Anita Cruz, who I understand is absent today, so I wanted to discuss the repercussions of that. Absent her, it would be Mr. Gillen would be the first witness.
Okay, so Ms. Cruz, where does she work again?
She works at GSA. She called this morning to indicate she is ill. This weather affects her nostril area.
Was she subpoenaed?
No, she had, as I understand from Mr. Tom, he asked if she would be available. She indicated yes, she had no problems.
It was an agreement of the parties that she would appear.
So GSA was going to make her voluntarily available, would
yes.
that be fair to say? And she's not here. When can she appear then? I mean, because
it all depends
tomorrow?
On the it all depends on the weather. The weather, when it rains, she really has problems.
Well, please check on her status this afternoon. I'm going to reserve decision on that. If she is a, would you say she's a material witness?
She's absolutely a material witness.
And you've already made that agreement, which Ms. Ariarte has relied upon, hence there's no subpoena. We could actually order her to be present, but we'll see if she'll be available, if she's feeling better this afternoon, or perhaps would be here by tomorrow or some later date. I don't know how ill she is, but... All right, so at this time, let's remove the witnesses with the ex- exception of Mr. Gilliam, and they'll go to the witness holding area. Okay? Just so the witnesses understand, the reason we have to do this is so that
we preserve your testimony. Who are your witnesses, Ms. Ariarte? Who are your witnesses, yeah, other than Mr. Gillum?
I've called Mr. Cotto, Ms. Del Mundo, and Ms. Rabaco. No. And there are witnesses from Basel that are not present in the room.
So is Mr. Cassell a witness?
He's a witness that not called by me.
No, those called by
me. So he would have to leave also. Mr. Gillum can stay.
Excuse me, I take it I'm a witness?
Yes, he's also, Mr. Moffitt is also a witness.
And he's your witness?
He's my witness.
So, will your case be finished by noontime today?
Without Ms. Cruz, unfortunately not.
Okay, so, are you deferring your case? How would
I would ask for, you know, she is the author of a number of important memos and also a decision maker in this case. After I conclude, Mr. Gillen, I'd ask that we would continue until she's available.
Well, we would continue on to your next witness who's present. Unfortunately, that just because there are a lot of witnesses, we have to push through those. And we could take Ms. Cruz out of order. You won't have to rest your case until she's made available.
All right, okay.
All right. Now, the other issue that's come up is this filing made on July the 29th by the Department of Public Health, actually by Mr. Gillen. And Mr. Topf, is Mr. Gillen part of the purchasing agency or not?
He's the, for public health, he's their institutional representative.
Is he the signatory on the contract between Basel Food and public health?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, he's, his signature doesn't appear on it, does it?
Purchase order.
Oh, that's right. It's purchase order through the IFP. It's not a formal contract similar to an RFP.
But this contract between Basel Foods, just so I understand the relationship of the parties before we begin, the issue is we're trying to determine or ascertain whether or not Mr. Gillen is part of the purchasing agency. So as a head of public health, was the contract between Basel Food and public health? Or was it between Basel Food and GSA?
As a matter of technicalities, between GSA. DPHSS is the requesting agency on an invitation for bid, but GSA is the official signatory on the IFB.
The point I'm bringing up is if Mr. Gillen is related, or public health is related to essentially this contract, or it's the contracting agency, and if Mr. Gillen has filed this, what appears to be an answer to the allegations made in the appeal, it's untimely. The type that should have been filed with the agency report, and the time to do that, in fact, has passed.
Could I inquire what,
yes,
document are you looking at?
On July the 29th.
August 1st.
Or excuse me, well, it's dated July the 29th. It was served on the OPA on August 1st, 2016. Department of Public Health basically sent in their response to the appeal.
Okay. That was not served on my office.
And they served it, it appears to be as a comment to the agency report. But I don't find them to be a proper interested party because they are not a bidder or an offeror or a contractor. They're actually the requesting agency.
Yes.
So these comments would more properly have been filed with the agency report, and of course August 1st Correct me if I'm wrong, but that's beyond the time, essentially.
It would be beyond the time, but also we have no notice. No, we haven't been served with that document.
So yeah, that's the other issue. You haven't received this document?
No.
Is SH Enterprises aware of this document?
I'm sorry, you're referring to an August 12th document?
No, an August the 1st, 2016 filed document by Public Health. Essentially, its title is Department of Public Health's Comments to the Agency Report.
Chair, was that distributed to anybody?
No, we only received one copy.
Only one copy was received, so it's an OPA's possession only, so they haven't seen it, and it's untimely. It hasn't been distributed to anybody. Has the AG received it?
We have received it. I believe if the officers are in the mindset that this should be stricken because it has not been served on the parties, I understand that this is material that we can elicit and test on later.
I think you're going to have to do that, but it's going to be my ruling that this document filed by Public Health on August 1st, 2016 should have been part of the agency report because it's coming from the Department of Public Health, which is a request an agency to this particular contract. Further, Department of Public Health is not a proper interested party, and this document was not filed on the other parties to the hearing, nor was it filed on the date the agency report was scheduled to be filed. Hence, it's untimely. It's not a proper party. Wasn't served. It will be stricken from the record and not considered by the OPA. So, Ms. Iriarte, before we begin, are there any other issues? Yes.
Prior to your coming, we talked about the scheduling with the public auditor. Do we have to repeat it now that we're on the record?
You're talking about the scheduling? The
timing and conclusion of today.
So essentially, my understanding is that, Mr. Kono, you do have a very important appointment at noon.
I have to go to dialysis.
And is there someone who can, because we do have a lot of witnesses, this is going to be a multiple day hearing. And essentially, I'd hate to lose an afternoon. I understand that particular technique pretty much would take the rest of the afternoon. Yes. Mr. Topp, would you be prepared to proceed the afternoon without Mr. Kono?
I think a large part of the case rests on testimony from Mr. Kono, so I would not be willing to proceed without him.
Okay, but Ms. Iriarte, are you going to call Mr. Kono this morning or this afternoon? Were you planning on calling him this morning or this afternoon?
In the absence of Ms. Cruz, I will call him this morning.
Very well. But regardless, we'll see where we're at by noon. Of course, Mr. Kono, you're going to be excused. We're not going to keep you here. But we'll see how far we are at that point. And any other issues before we begin? So pursuant to the scheduling order, we will proceed with the opening statements. Ms. Iriarte will go first on behalf of the appellant. She will be followed by the purchasing agency, and they will be followed by the interested party, SH Enterprises. Ms. Iriarte, you have the floor for your opening statement.
Thank you. Parties in this case and the services that are at issue, there is a common thread among these two cases. And that common thread is the reckless conduct of the government by two agencies. And reckless to such an extreme degree that we question whether there is more at stake here than just recklessness. Let's start with what is at issue here. And first, these are contracts to provide food to the elderly. These contracts are supported by federal grants. When the government of Guam fails to take all precautions using federal money, it puts that entire program at risk. so we have to remember that is at stake. It's well established that terminations of government contracts are actually drastic sanctions. The government has to not just consider the default, but look at all the circumstances and the interests of both the government and the contractor. If we look at the procurement record itself, there is not a single shred of paper that tells us what GSA did to examine what was in the best interests of the government. Anita Cruz, who makes this decision both to terminate and to issue an emergency procurement, she did not write any memos or emails to ask whether there was any other option besides termination. She blindly saw a D rating and then terminated. If she had done an analysis, she would have realized, number one, the government was about to spend 2 to 3 times more than what it was paying Basic. With the recent deficit situation, she did not take finances into account. Second, she did not consider the possibility of a cure, and that cure occurred within less than 2 business days. Finally, she didn't see if there was a different option under the contracts. And in fact, there was. There is an emergency menu provision that would have allowed Basil to provide dry goods meals for up to 3 days. That would have saved the government a ton of money. How much money? We'll look at it today. It's going to be around $800,000. And that's not $800,000 that it's just paying to SH. That's $800,000 above and beyond what it would have paid to Basil. That's $800,000 in the last 3 months. We will hear from Mr. Gillen, who makes a declaration of substantial interest to the OPA. We'll look at that declaration of substantial interest because, number one, it doesn't tell the OPA that the vendor being used for emergency procurement is not qualified under the Guam Food Code. Second, there is no financial analysis in that document. In other words, he has submitted a document to the OPA that generally is an incomplete analysis and was improper. So the facts that we already know today and will confirm is, number one, the government has been using SH since June 1st, 2016. To this day, August 15, it has not asked any other vendor for a quote. We also know SH was the highest of 4 bidders on the original contract. What we know is the government never asked any of the other bidders, could they provide these services on an emergency basis? And lastly, we know that SH was not qualified to provide these services because it did not have a HACCP plan. We'll get into the HACCP plan today. It's a requirement that vendors who provide food to the elderly must have HACCP plans. DPH, Public Health, has a policy of not allowing any vendor to serve food to the elderly on a contract like this unless it has that. On this occasion, Public Health looked the other way. HACCP plans are also important because it's one of the 2 reasons the contract was terminated. We'll see as to the background of that earlier default and prove that it was improper. At the end of the day and at the end of the proceedings, we'll ask that the OPA determine that the termination was improper, that the emergency procurement is illegal, and that Basil be rescinded or be reinstated to the contract.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Arte. Mr. Toff, you have the floor for your opening statement on behalf of the purchasing agency.
Thank you. As far as the OPA PA 16-006 half of this case, I think the legal issues on this are fairly simple. The facts behind it, a little more messy and complex. As far as the legal issues, they're covered in my hearing brief that I submitted, and the facts and the testimony are to show why Public Health and GSA acted, why they did. With legal issues, I'd like to highlight 2 of them. One is that the specific portion of the term of the contract is superior over a general term of a contract. You'll see that this 10-day notice, as outlined in my hearing brief, is not something that GSA and Public Health are required to provide. This was provided as a courtesy in some of the prior violations that Basil had done. The specific term of the contract allows for instant and immediate termination upon receiving of a C grade or lower in the health score. The second thing I'd like to point out as far as legal issues is that there is a catch-all provision in the very same set of statutes that Basil's referring to, that if the government erroneously terminates under that 10-day provision, that as long as there is a provision in the contract that provides for termination for the convenience of the territory, which there is in this instance, as you'll see, that the termination then falls under that clause instead of the 10-day clause. So under either circumstance, I believe that VSA and Public Health were entitled to act as they did. As far as the OPA PA 16-008, you'll see that Basil's going to make a lot of hay over this HACCP plan thing. As far as that, there's some points I'd like to make on that you'll see with the testimony. One is that a HACCP plan is required to be in place for bidders that are currently providing services to populations that are vulnerable and schools and hospitals, things like that. At the time the emergency procurement went out, SH was not providing services to those populations. As soon as they were told that they needed to get a HACCP plan, and they did within the 60 days allotted to them, which is a much shorter time than it took Basil to get their plan, as you'll see through the testimony. As far as the qualified bid list, SH was the only vendor on that. That was the only vendor that GSA was allowed to send out bids to, because they were the only ones on this qualified bid list over the past 12 months. There'll be a lot of testimony listed by Basil as to, these are that are trying to show some sort of favoritism towards SH, and that there's this denigration towards Basil. But going through the evidence, you're just going to see time after time after time that Public Health gave Basil every opportunity to try and cure. We're talking a minimum 8 times here. There'll probably be more. You'll see it. And the thing that concerns me about that is every time that Public Health has one of these, a C or D rating on health report, and they allow them to go on, it's a gamble. I've been a director of an agency. You have to make these calls. At what point is it necessary to move on and say we're not going to gamble with the health of our seniors at this point after this health violation? So you'll see that at some point, enough was enough. Public Health made the call, and I think the evidence will support why they did what they did and why that was necessary. Thank you.
Ms. Tang, you have the floor for your opening statement on behalf of interested party HS SH Enterprises.
Good morning. Thank you. SH Enterprises is a interested third party. The SH was awarded the emergency contract after Basil Food contract was terminated on May 31st, 2016. It was terminated based on the procurement records, because it received a D rating, not the first, but second of which in 2 years, and in the last year and a half. And this is a serious issue because you are talking about serving food to a susceptible population that would include children in schools, elderly, those who are, whose food preparation, I'm sorry, those for whom food preparation must be must follow certain guidelines, one of which was the requirement that the kitchen that produces the food have what is called a HACCP plan. HACCP plan stands for Hazard Analysis and Critical Control Points. The acronym is HACCP, and just reading from Wikipedia. The HACCP plan is a systematic preventive approach to food safety from biological, chemical, and physical hazards in production processes that can cause the finished product to be unsafe and designs measurements to reduce these risks to a safe level. In this manner, HACCP is referred as the prevention of hazards rather than finished product inspection. It's very important, and you will see in the evidence that's been provided that when Basil Food received a demerit of, 60 points or thereabouts, and received a D rating, there were serious violations. And SH Enterprises, at the time that it was awarded the emergency contract on June 1st, it did not serving It was not in the business of serving food to the susceptible population, so he did not have a HACCP plan. The policy is, at, as I understand it from public health, is that a standard letter goes out and gives the entity 60 days within which to develop and get its asset plan together. SH Enterprises complied. It began serving on June 1st. By July 27th, 2016, it submitted and got approval on its asset plan. So it complied. This is not, Basil Food cannot say the same. Basil Food complains that SH Enterprises obtained this contract by foul means and makes allegations about SH Enterprises' delivery methods, the food complains about makes various allegations about SH Enterprises. We think those allegations are irrelevant. The relevant issue for the public auditor is, one, did Basil Food breach its contract? Was it rightfully terminated? That is what's before the public auditor. If it was rightfully terminated and it did not have the 10-day to cure, 10-day cure is optional. It is not mandatory. They got that 10-day cure a year ago when they got the D rating. They knew or should have known, and they did it again. So you're serving a highly susceptible population, and you allow your kitchens to get a D rating twice within 1 year or 1 year period? I think that's unreasonable, my personal opinion, but I think that legally, the issue really is solely whether there was the agency was right in terminating the contract. If it was, then there's nothing to complain about. Now there's the emergency procurement. This is an expedited process. It takes, and I know that this the public auditor has been expediting this particular appeal to the best of its abilities, and once it's resolved, they'll RFP it back out. That's all it is. This is not a long-term contract. This is a 30-day monthly extension, and just keep in mind, we're talking about serving 1,960 meals a day. It's hard enough for most of us to put out meals for our family on a daily basis, and to be able to mobilize, have the kitchen, mobilize, have food delivery, have staff on board to in the kitchen to clean, licensed staff, not just, oh, let's just, you know, hire a bunch of people come in. You have to have food certifications. You got to be able to serve food. You've got to have all of these requirements in place. And then you've got to have people who deliver the food to these various places, not just, oh, it takes an hour or 2 hours. You have to figure out where these, they're not just at the mayor's office that you deliver or the community centers. You have to figure out where some of these people live. This is a huge undertaking to be able to pull something together within 24, 48 hours. I think it's almost near impossible. And I think that the complaint that, well, we should have gotten a bunch of bidders, I think it's pretty, it's unlikely that you'll get more. I mean, the fact that SH was able to step up into the plate, because it's done this before years ago, it knows what's involved, it was able to mobilize. Yes, there's a premium for it, so we should penalize them for it. We should penalize them for being, because that's what Basil Food is saying. Hey, we can do it cheaper. Why are we paying more? Well, because you've been terminated. Somebody has to basically mobilize within 24 hours to pick up, to do the job that you were supposed to do. And they're now complaining that they're getting paid for it. And it costs money and time, and you can't hire employees for 30 days. I mean, for these kind of specialized services, that's unreasonable to sit here and complain and say, well, gosh, you're paying more. It's an emergency procurement. By definition, it is short-term, and given the nature of the procurement, it requires huge mobilization on a labor and manpower and food basis. There's got to be some reasonable compensation to the vendor who steps up and takes those responsibilities. And knowing that in 30 days, that you may not have that contract. So I think, let's focus on the issue here. Were they rightfully terminated based on the contract alone? The financial cost on the emergency, that's a separate issue. If they were rightfully terminated, there is nothing more for Basil Food to say today. They should just, you know, wait for the next procurement and bid for it, because that's what's going to happen. Thank you.
Ms. Iriarte, it's your case in chief. You may call your first witness.
Thank you. Basil calls James Gillen.
Mr. Gillen, can you please take the witness seat or stand behind the witness seat? I ask that the witness be sworn.
Please remain standing and raise your right hand. Please state your name.
James
Gillen. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Please be seated.
That's what we got.
Please have a seat, Mr. Gillen.
Good morning, Mr. Camacho. May I ask you a question, sir? Is there an opportunity to reintroduce that report?
You're going to have to bring that up with Mr. Thompson. Okay. We're here now.
Thank you.
This is the stage where Ms. Iriarte has called you as a witness as the opportunity to ask you a question. Ms. Iriarte, your witness.
Good morning, Mr. Gillen.
Good morning.
You're familiar with GSA IFB 10-14 and 11-14?
Yes.
Yes, okay. And could you tell us what those are?
These are the bids that were initially awarded.
And what services do they provide?
So services for congregate and home delivered meal.
Before we proceed, Ms. Iriarte, Mr. Gillen, just a couple of housekeeping matters. What is your official position?
I'm the director of the Department of Public Health and Social Services.
Thank you. Please proceed. Okay.
And you were the director when these bids first went out?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you were just saying that they are the services for congregate and home-delivered meals, correct?
Yes.
And could you explain what is the congregate meals? What's
congregate meals are delivered to generally to senior citizen centers or mayor's offices or centers where seniors who are able physically to participate in social interactions also get a meal delivered. Okay.
Now earlier we heard the Office of the Attorney General state that GSA is the contracting party. You would agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. So what role does public health play with these services?
Pretty much a pass-through. We pay for
the
meals. We pay for the meals as they're billed, invoiced.
Now the awarding of the contracts, that was done by GSA?
Yes.
And the termination of the contracts was also done by GSA?
That's correct.
Let me talk to you about HACCP plans. You're familiar with that term?
Yes.
What is the purpose of the HACCP plan?
Basically, mostly involves the operation of the processing of the food, more so than the physical plant, although that's also important. But it's required for any vendor or any provider of food services that provides food to susceptible populations, those being elementary school through, I think, middle school, hospitals, skilled nursing facilities, and senior citizens.
When did Guam start requiring that vendors serving highly susceptible populations have HACCP plans?
Okay. I don't have the exact date, but it's over a year.
Over a year from today?
Over a year from, let's say approximately 2 years then.
It's been 2 years that they've been required?
Pretty much. This all came as a result of the revised food code.
So it was part of the revised food code?
Yes.
were you the director that oversaw the implementation of the new HACCP requirements?
I was the director during the time of HACCP.
So public health was responsible for enforcing these HACCP requirements?
The Division of Environmental Health of the department, yes.
And did you yourself monitor the status of how the HACCP plans were being enforced?
Personally, no.
No. Who was that?
It's the Division of Environmental Health.
Who would be the head of that division?
Well, that's Mr. Tom Nadeau.
So are you saying that you didn't have any role in the implementation of the HACCP requirements?
Help me with that, what do you mean?
Sure. What did you consider your role to be in the implementation of the new HACCP requirements?
Okay, review the recommendations of the Division of Environmental Health. But as this was a requirement of the revised food code, and that all of the people involved in the development of the food code agreed that HACCP was a very important integral part of the food safety code,
review recommendations. What are you talking about? Recommendations?
You know, the HACCP plan would have to apply to, again, as we discussed, the susceptible food services to susceptible populations. So
what recommendation would you personally review?
That every vendor, every food purveyor, okay, that provides food services, foods, meals to susceptible populations, we have to have a HACCP.
So are you talking about reviewing policy recommendations?
The law requires that those vendors have a HACCP plan. I don't think I have a role in saying whether you should have one or not. It's pretty clear.
Would you believe that when it came time to implement the HACCP plan, that the department did so on a consistent basis across the vendors?
I believe that's the case. That's why I'm hoping we get this thing readmitted into the record.
Well,
because you made some allegations in your complaint.
Okay, Mr. Gillen. You're going to have to wait until she asks a question,
sir.
And then you're going to respond to it.
Thank you, sir.
Please proceed.
Isn't it the case that some vendors, when public health was announcing these HACCP requirements, that some vendors did not even understand what was required?
I can't speak to that. I don't know.
Well, let's say, for instance, do you recall any correspondence from vendors complaining about not understanding the requirements?
I do not.
Okay, let me show you an exhibit. It'll be exhibit 28 of the Basel book.
So is it, which exhibit? You're looking at your exhibits.
My exhibit, exhibit 28. If you could turn to that exhibit, Mr. Gillen. Okay, if you could turn to the last page. Recognize this email?
addressed me, so I assume I have it. I think I do remember, Sister Emily. Yeah.
Now, isn't it true in this email that she this person, Emily de Villa Cruz, who I believe is from St. Dominic's, she was complaining that there wasn't any training, and she even thinks that she could write a HACCP plan. Is that correct?
Objection calls for speculation, lack of foundation. She's not party to this email. I don't know what people are thinking, what they were thinking when they were writing.
He's the recipient of this email.
No, it says, are we looking at 28?
The last page of Exhibit 28, last page, not the first page. And that is, just so you know, Ms. Tang, it's a email from Ms. Dela Cruz to Mr. James.
I see. I was looking at the first page.
I believe he's already testified that he remembers the email.
Okay.
I'm going to overrule your objection. Please proceed.
Thank you.
Just one more. Go ahead. I have two pages on Exhibit 28 here.
Very
the
last.
Very last page.
I have a blank.
You have a blank.
Have a copy
okay,
of this.
Can you?
Is our copy machine available?
We may have an additional copy.
It should be the very last page of that.
I only had pages 1 and 2.
Okay.
Did not have 3 and 4 in my...
Yeah. Are we on the same page now?
Yes.
Okay. You have the email for, to Mr. Gillen? From Ms. Dela Cruz? You do now? All right. Please proceed, Ms. Uriarte.
Thank you. All right. So we were just talking about some of her complaints, Ms. Dela Cruz. Isn't it the case that she's complaining there had not been training and that she thinks that she could write the plan? Is that correct?
Okay, and thank you for jogging my memory, by the way. You know, some of the people during the initial implementation of this had some difficulties. You know, and there was even some pushback from some certain members of the Hotel and Restaurant Association. But I think we did allow St. Dominic's time to get a HACCP together, but I don't think that this person is a qualified, certified person to write a HACCP plan or to, you know, to consult with. So we, in this case, I don't really recall again what we did for her or for St. Dominic's. In many cases, we were concerned about giving the names of people who we knew were certified HACCP trainers, because we didn't want to seem to be, you know, touting, you know, certain people. We would just say, look, you could go online and find these people. And it finally, I think in many cases, got to the point where we said, okay, there are a couple of people on Guam, please contact them. And most people were able to do so. I do not know what status at St. Dominic's is right now, but I believe they do have their HACCP.
Okay. Before we proceed, just as an administrative housekeeping note, we have a couple of new people in the room here. These are not witnesses by any party.
Okay.
So if they're your witnesses, Ms. Arrington, they're going to have to wait at the witness holding area.
Thank you.
All right, please proceed.
Just one other question. There is another lady with me. Is she going to a witness? Okay. If I may ask, what is her role or her title at?
She's not, we've gone through this in a prior hearing, but she's not an employee of Basel. She is an assistant to one of the Basel officers.
Okay, so she's not a party?
No.
Okay, and but you're not planning on calling her
as
a witness.
Witness.
I don't believe she was named as a witness on any of the documents. This is a public proceeding. I'm only omitting people who are going to be called as witnesses.
My client's told me that she's the program manager. Is that correct?
That's not correct.
Okay. That's fine. Thank you.
All right.
Okay. Mr. Gillen, I think let's just talk a little bit more about the certifier goal. So when someone submits, a vendor submits a HACCP plan, who can write that HACCP plan? Can the vendor write it?
The vendor can write a HACCP plan if they have a certified, registered HACCP person overseeing it. Okay, but a vendor without a certification can't just write a HACCP.
Okay, all right. So that's one thing. This woman, Estella Cruz, thinks that she could write it, but right. She probably does not have that certification.
No.
Okay, so the vendor has to hire somebody with those qualifications
that's
to
correct.
Write it. And then what happens once they have that person write it? When they submit to public health, what does public health do?
Okay, I have a lot of other things to do besides this. I'm going to assume that we review it, and we okay it, and then subsequently, if we do any inspections, we want to make sure that they are following the plan. Okay, and as I said, most of it is operational. Okay, it's one thing to have a physical plant that's squeaky clean. Okay, it's another thing to observe the operation of how the food is being handled, how it's being stored. You can go in and clean up a place fairly quickly, okay, but when you people still don't wash their hands, still thaw food out on the floor, there are operational considerations that are more important, I think, in many cases.
Okay, but the HACCP plan is definitely the first start.
Oh, yes.
First step, okay. So you forwarded this email to Cindy Naval or Naval? How do I?
Naval,
okay. And who is Ms. Naval?
Cindy is one of the supervisors at the Division of Environmental Health.
Okay, one of the supervisors. And so she comments in the next email, the email above on the chain, that it didn't appear that Ms. De La Cruz understood the certification aspects, correct? The email before the one that is sent to you.
Is that the second to the last page?
Yes, that's it's page 3 on the bottom.
Yeah, are all the parties there?
Yes.
All right, please proceed. Mr. Gillen, have you found that page?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Please proceed.
Okay, so she's commenting also that Ms. De La Cruz does not seem to understand that the plan needed to be certified, correct?
I'm sorry, that's...
The page 3 on the bottom.
This looks like it's referring to Basil.
No, if you look at the first paragraph.
I'm sorry.
The first paragraph of the email.
So you're referring to one that says, can you please give me?
That's kind of how that
works. Right after good morning, ladies.
That's correct. Now, if you look at the last sentence of that first paragraph, she said, I'm afraid she's also missing the point that the plan needs to be certified. Do you
right.
see that? Okay. All right. So did Ms. Naval or anyone from that department discuss with you maybe some misunderstandings that vendors had on the requirements for certification?
The problem I'm having, again, is what we submitted without knowing that we had a deadline. Our responses to a lot of this, but there were people, again, who didn't come to the meetings when they were supposed to come to the meetings, didn't understand what was required of getting a HACCP plan, which included having a certified person or company assist them in developing the plan and certifying the plan.
So there was a number of vendors who didn't understand those issues, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And then could you look at the page that says number 2 on the bottom?
Also on Exhibit 28?
Also on Exhibit 28. So in the middle of that page, there's a July 7th at 9:51 email from Cindy Naval. And she states, I am still of the mind that the delivery process for the letters was flawed. Did anyone bring to your attention that the process for delivering HACCP letters was flawed?
capacity. I guess you could read it that way.
So no one brought that to your attention, the process could have been flawed. Okay. And I just want to note the date of this letter, July 7, 2015. Do you recall the date that you had suspended Basil's operation because of the lack of a HACCP plan?
Which time?
In 2015.
No, I do not.
Okay. So if I told you that was July 9th, 2015, does that sound accurate? That would have been 2 days after this email.
Objection asked, answered. Doesn't recall.
I don't recall.
That was, I'm just asking for, you know, to...
I'll overrule the objection. Please proceed.
Did anyone from your staff at the Department of Public Health talk to you about, giving extensions to comply with the HACCP requirements on an uneven basis to the vendors?
I don't know what you mean by that.
A lot of people
were given opportunities to fix or get their things in order.
Did you become aware that the process for, deadlines for when they were supposed to have a HACCP plan, that was unevenly applied? Did anyone from your department discuss that with you?
That somebody would come to me and say we were treating people unevenly?
Yeah.
No.
Did anyone say that to you?
No.
Well, let's look at the first email. We have a concern on the very first page from Catherine Del Mundo. Do you know what Ms. Del Mundo's position is?
She is generally the one who does the facility inspections.
Okay, so she's an employee of public health.
Yes.
And doing the inspections.
Division of Environmental Health.
And then if we look at the last paragraph of her email to Ms. Naval, she asks, why was St. Dominic's given an additional week? And then she talks about Basil and says, we downgraded them before providing an extension. So you were not familiar that some vendors got additional time that Basil did not get.
Like the foundation, he hasn't testified that he knows about this communication or the contents of this email. He's not party to this email, at least this particular portion of the email.
Well, I've been
in response to the objection?
Well, I've been asking questions leading up to what information he had about his department's application of the HACCP requirements, and just asking him, did he understand that some of his staff members had these concerns themselves?
Well, I'm going to have to agree with Ms. Tang on this one. He's not a party to the email. You can ask him if he was aware of this issue, but if he's not, then he's not really testifying based on his personal knowledge of this particular dispute. So the objection is sustained. Please proceed.
Okay, so just to confirm, you're not aware of the issue that some of your staff members had about uneven deadlines for HACCP requirements?
Well, you know, I have a little difficulty with the term uneven, but, you know, all of these things were fairly new, okay, and they perhaps in a sense had been unevenly applied, but I think that we more than bent over backwards for a lot of these people because they were having difficulty getting their HACCP plans. Some could not find a certified HACCP trainer. We recommended all kinds of venue, all kinds of places, even in the States. But again, we did not want to be looked at as the people who pointing vendors to specific certified HACCP, because that's really not appropriate.
Okay. Who had the authority to grant extensions for complying with HACCP requirements?
I think DEH took it upon themselves to be more than willing to help people get these things in place because the end product was so important.
So if I can just understand, you talked about Mr. Najo is the head of the Division of Environmental
Health?
Yes. Okay. And Mr. Mundo is in his department?
That's correct.
Okay. Is there a supervisor of Ms. Del Mundo between her and Mr. Najo?
I believe that's Rosetta Rapp.
Before you move on, Ms. Iriarte, I believe another person walked in. He's not another one of your witnesses.
Yes, this is Jerry Lee. He's an officer of Basel and is not the employee.
He's not picked up. Very well. Please proceed.
Okay, now I want to ask you about a letter you provided to Basel, and I'm going to refer to the government's Exhibit C. Is there an exhibit by any of the witness?
Somebody's on it.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
So you have Exhibit C in front of you. I'm looking at page 20 and 21.
You're looking at the Bates numbers, correct?
No, yeah, I'm sorry. The Bates numbers on the bottom, it says Exhibit C dash.
Okay. First of all, Mr. Dillon, do you know what a Bates number is?
No.
All right, could you please show the witness?
I'll do it here. It's in
lawyers.
The it's right here. Right?
Lawyers are very familiar with that term.
That's one of
them.
It's right at the bottom.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Please
so
proceed.
I think I can figure it out.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. So.
What page again?
Exhibit
C
dash 20.
20.
And 21. Now, this is a letter that you authored, correct?
Right.
Okay. And it's directed to Basel Food Service.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to draw your attention to page the bottom of page 21. Let's see. One second.
I'm sorry for the English there. I didn't write this. Please note it.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
No, it's just the grammar and the syntax is a little off.
Sorry, I'm just trying to find where I was going to make a reference.
Last paragraph?
We don't have a marker. Okay.
I can go get it.
Okay, that's right. We should get a few markers here for future.
Do we need another set? Is that a problem?
No, it's just.
Okay, so on this date, March 11th, if you could look at page 21 where it says number 3 in the middle, number 3 as an establishment.
Mm-hmm.
The establishment must submit a HACCP plan, which must be developed or certified by a person who has obtained HACCP training and credentialing. So, is that correct? You remember that language?
That's correct.
Okay. And so here you're instructing Basel that they have to have a plan developed or certified by a person with HACCP training and credentialing.
That's correct.
At that point, did the Department of Public Health have a list or a program that demonstrated who could be a person with HACCP training and credentialing?
I think at that time we referred them to, I think there were two people at Guam Community College, and we also referred them, I think, to a firm in California.
You sure about that?
Not exactly.
Okay, so let's look at page I'm going to refer to a letter that's on page 30 and 31, marked on the bottom.
Are we back to?
No, we're still in Exhibit C.
Okay.
Yeah. If you could turn to 30 and 31. So if we look at the second to last paragraph on page 31, and this is a letter that you sent to Basel on March 26th, right? So the second to last paragraph.
What page again? I apologize.
31 on the bottom.
Okay.
So in the second to last paragraph of that page, you're informing Basil the HACCP plan must be developed or certified by a person who has obtained training and credentialing on retail HACCP from a program.
You're saying Basil, this is why I'm confused, Ms. Ariarte.
Yes.
The letter, page 30 says sanitary permit holder, elementary school's cafeteria.
Oh,
yeah, okay.
Food services. It doesn't address it to Basil.
Okay.
So that's why I'm confused.
Interesting. Well, let me see where they have it directed to Basil. So you recall this letter on pages 30 and 31, Mr. Gilliland?
Now that I see it, yes.
Yes, okay. And what, can you just tell us who received these letters or who did you direct them to?
First, I'm not trying to be contrary here, but you know, it's just that you know, I see so many. This is like an average day for me with this paper. Well, this is elementary school cafeterias and food establishments, so it would likely have gone to. Maybe at that time, Lee Quinn, or now known as Basil.
Okay. So if you look actually at the page that's stamped 29, so just right before, you're familiar with this document?
Not really.
Okay. Well, this is...
Okay. Yes.
I'm sorry? So this appears to be a certification of some document delivered to Basil on April 3rd, 2015, correct? Okay. So is it possible that this letter was delivered to Basil on or about either the date of the letter or the date of that receipt?
Something was delivered to them on April 3rd.
Okay.
The date of which I can remember.
So at the time of this letter, March 26, 2015, Basil was a vendor serving a highly susceptible population, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So you're instructing those vendors on page 31 in the second to last paragraph that a HACCP plan has to be developed or certified by a person that has been evaluated and listed by the department, correct? Are you aware that it wasn't until Basil was actually had their operation suspended that public health finally told them who was certified to develop their plan?
It's quite possible because they weren't able to, I guess, get what they needed, so they had to resort to that.
And then you repeated this information that's in this letter on pages 30 and 31 on another document. If I could refer you to the exhibit binder in front of you, exhibit 42.
Can we just agree that it'll be Basil exhibit and joint exhibit? That's easier, or it's consistent. And that's really what, right? At the only two sets of exhibits.
Yes, there's only two sets.
So these are more submitted as joint exhibits.
Okay, how are the joint
ABC
exhibits numbered? A, B, C, D,
yes.
Letters of the alphabet?
And then, yes.
How are...
1, 2, 3.
Numerical.
Okay, so I think for the record, we're okay.
Okay.
You can just, if I know it's exhibit 1 or exhibit A,
okay.
I know what set they come from.
I'm sorry, exhibit
42 is the binder. If you recognize this document, Mr. Gilliland.
This is June 23rd, 2016. I don't know
exhibit 42.
Or July 16th.
Yeah,
July 16th.
Yes.
Okay.
So you're familiar with this press release, sir?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
And so again, you repeat in the second to last paragraph that the HACCP plan has to be developed or certified by a person evaluated and listed by the department, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Public Health ever published a listing of who's certified to develop or certify PASET plans?
I don't think so. I don't believe so.
Okay. Now let's turn to Exhibit 10 of the binder. According to this letter, on the second paragraph, you state the sanitary permit was suspended due to the repeated violation of not possessing a certified HACCP plan specific to your location.
Sorry.
Okay, so.
All right, please proceed.
So, I'm sorry. So according to this letter, you suspended Basil because it did not have a certified HACCP plan, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And then you also state in that same paragraph, the suspension of the permit will continue as long as it, as the violation goes uncorrected, correct?
That's correct.
If I may, the same exhibit appears in Exhibit C, page 154, that has a clear copy with a date stamp. And the date stamp was July 17, 2015.
Okay. Thank you.
July 17, 2015.
It appears on Exhibit C, page 154.
Thank you.
Now, you also, you might mean the department, initiated proceedings to revoke Basil's permit after this, correct?
I believe so.
Okay. And once Basil submitted its HACCP plan, those proceedings were canceled.
That's correct.
Now, did you realize by the time that you initiated those proceedings that no other vendor had actually submitted a certified HACCP plan?
No.
And so you never told GSA that Basil was the only vendor who had been suspended for not having a, having a HACCP plan, is that correct?
Mm-hmm. No.
No.
Okay. Okay, yes.
I'm sorry?
No.
No, okay.
Can you repeat the question? And
sure.
Second,
did you ever tell GSA that Basil was the only vendor that was suspended for not having a HACCP plan?
No.
And Ms., if I could follow up, Ms.
Yes, go ahead.
And to the best of your recollection, Basil was the first one to be suspended because of a lack of a HACCP plan.
I believe so. You're also the only one that was doing business with them at one.
So public health, Basil was the only one public health was doing business with, no other vendor, correct?
As far as I know, yes.
As far as you know. And that as well, your only vendor then was suspended on about this time.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Now, you had earlier talked about you're now aware that there may be one or two persons at GCC that could be certifiers for HACCP plans, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So were you aware that at the time that the department had suspended Basil's operations, just a few days earlier, he indicated he was available to certify HACCP plans?
Objection, lack of Foundation. I was asking her what another fellow's schedule was.
No, I'm asking about his awareness of this other person's.
Okay, could you specify the name
of
the person? Okay, I'm going to sustain the objection. It's hard. Please be a little bit more clear as to who we're speaking about.
Well, let me ask.
Ms. Herriot.
You mentioned that there are people at GCC. Who are those people that can certify?
At the time, I believe there were two. First person, I do not recall her name, but she, according to, is this hearsay? According to what I've been told by the Environmental Health, that person did not respond to any emails or calls, so the only person who was available was Mr. Barry Mead.
And do you know when Mr. Barry Mead started being able to certify?
As soon as he was, I don't know whether he was on vacation or what, but when he returned, we knew he was there. And because of the circumstances with Basil, we gave his name to them. And again, his background, they did use the services of a California-based firm or person who submitted something that was not certifiable, was not acceptable.
All right. So what is public health allowing off island persons to develop and certify on island plants?
Certified HACCP trainers meet the same national requirements.
And would that person have been on the list that the department is supposed to develop according to your letters?
More than likely. You know, I don't know. I don't see the list.
Now, Basil did try to use an off-island certifier, is that correct?
And that's what I understand.
Certified even meant?
I'm going to answer that.
Certified in relation to what? Oh.
No, we're talking about
let me point to an exhibit. If you look at exhibit 27 in the binder. Record, I just realized in preparing that exhibit 27 is one page. The continuation of the bottom email is actually on the first page of exhibit 29. So the complete email is on exhibit. The complete email of the bottom email, exhibit 27 is on exhibit 29.
So that's one email change, is what you're saying, 29 and
29 and 30.
Yeah. I'm sorry, 29 and 28, 27, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay, which page of exhibit 27 is in exhibit 29 again?
Exhibit 27 is one page, and it's also the first page of exhibit 29. Parts of the email.
Parts of the email.
Yeah, the way it was disclosed to Basil was in different areas, and so we have parts of an email in one and parts of the same email in another exhibit.
All right, please proceed.
Okay, so if you just look at the first page of exhibit 27, you have an email on the bottom dated July 24th, 2015, from Rosetta Rabago to you. Do you recall that email?
Yes.
Okay, and so on the first paragraph, if you could review that.
Can we just refer to exhibit 29 because the 28th email is an incomplete email. There's a paragraph missing from the bottom portion from Ms. Rabago to Mr. Dillon. So I think the complete email is shown in exhibit 29. Should we just use that email for the witness so he could see the com- completing that as a response to the question.
I'm going to allow her to use exhibit. This is her case in chief. If you want to clarify that, Ms. Tang, you certainly can on cross-examination.
My point is that the email's an incomplete email, and there is a complete one. It's missing a paragraph.
Okay, but I know that she's asking me to look at a portion of the email in exhibit 28.
27.
Excuse me, 27, right? So
no, I
understand. That part is there, so. It's her case in chief. I'm going to allow her to do so.
Thank you.
And please proceed.
Okay, so we're back at the bottom email on exhibit 27, the first paragraph. That's an email to you in which Ms. Rabago talks about not being clear what certified actually means. Is that correct?
We're in exhibit 27, not 28.
We're on tab 27.
I'm sorry, I just have to make an objection because there are important things that are left out of this email. It's an incomplete email. So just objection, I understand.
I'm going to overrule the objection. You certainly can bring that issue up on cross-examination of this same witness, Ms. Tang. Please proceed.
Sorry, Councilman, what's the question?
Oh, sure. Okay, so the bottom email of exhibit 27 in the first paragraph, Ms. Rabago is expressing to you that she's asking, at what point does DEH say a HACCP plan is acceptable? Should it be one that has been approved and certified upon submission to EEH or based upon DEH's review that it be 100% in compliance, or whether it can be accepted where we don't cite it as a repeat violation and work towards conditional approval upon correcting HACCP plan? So in my reading of this, it sounds like Ms. Rabago is not clear as to when certification actually occurs. Is that correct? Mr. Gillen?
Well, you're talking about the first paragraph.
Yes, of her email.
She's asking whether or not it has to be 100% spot on. She's wondering if there's any leeway. And I think the second paragraph says, you know, there seems to be some room here in terms of temperatures of food, frozen foods.
No, I think you're not reviewing. You're not listening to the question. The question is, you know, when you read this, are you understanding that she's saying she's not sure when certification happens? Is it when it's submitted or upon DEH's review? So at this point, she wasn't clear as to what certification meant. Is that correct?
Well, I think you have to read the whole thing. You said, should it be, once it has been approved and certified upon submission to DEH, or is it based on DEH review, that it be 100% in compliance, or rather, can it be accepted when we don't cite it as a repeat violation? Okay, I think that's slightly different. She's saying, you know, is it this or that?
Okay.
Okay.
Now, in the third paragraph with that same email, Ms. Rabago discusses a phone call she received from Barry Mead. Do you recall that portion of the email?
Okay.
And, I'm sorry?
Yes.
Okay. And what she says is Mr. Mead, who you just testified was one of the certifiers, complained that DEH may not be timely in reviewing and approving these plans, but continue to cite them for not having an approved plan in place. So on July 24th, your department was receiving complaints from the certifiers, is that correct?
I don't see the word complain, but, you know, and Barry is Barry, but still, he was concerned about the length of time it's going to take to get things certified. And, I understand that.
Okay. And then her last statement to you, in the very bottom of that page, we will definitely work with all of these facilities to try to prevent what is happening with basil happen to them. So you recall that statement?
Yeah. Okay. I think, again, go back. There was a lot of difficulty getting their initial asset plan in place. There's first so-called certifier didn't do a very good job. Barry came in, helped them with it. And I think at the end, they did get a certified asset plan.
Now, if we look at the top email on Exhibit 27, this is an exchange between Ms. Robago and you. We're talking about SH now. And she informs you here that they were given 60 days to submit their plan. And this is on July 24, 2015. Is that correct? Now, you're familiar with the current emergency procurement for these services, right?
I know that we have emergency procurement.
Okay. Have you ever communicated to GSA that a HACCP plan was required for this service?
They're aware.
You communicated that a HACCP plan is required for a vendor?
They are aware that a HACCP plan is required for susceptible populations.
When was the earliest time that you made them aware?
The first time that their permit was suspended.
I'm sorry.
It may have been the first time that their permit was suspended.
Okay, so that would have been last summer. Was the first time that you would have communicated that to
GSA? I believe so.
Okay. What role does now? I'm going to talk about more about the current emergency procurement. You're aware of who's servicing the government under this emergency procurement?
Yes.
Okay, and what's the name of the vendor?
SH Enterprises.
What role did the Department of Public Health have in selecting the vendor for the emergency procurement?
None.
You said none. That was all handled by, just for clarification for the record, that was all handled by GSA.
Yeah.
And they didn't even inform you. They just took it upon themselves to select whoever without consultation. You knew, public health knew not at all who was selected.
Not until they were selected.
When this contract was previously issued, were you aware who the vendor, were you involved in the selection of the vendor before it was terminated?
No.
So when Basil got the original contract, that was a decision purely made by GSA without even consultation to you that this was the acceptable vendor?
Pretty much so.
So this is purely, you're just, whoever GSA selects, public health, this is it?
Yes.
So likewise, just to repeat, in the procurement, the emergency procurement, SNH was selected without any consultation knowledge on the part of public health?
Yes.
Including what the rates would be?
Correct.
And whether or not it would affect federal funds? Since the rate was significantly higher.
Mm-hmm. But it's not the first time that we've had an emergency procurement.
No. But I'm just trying to clarify the process.
Right. No, we don't. We don't participate in that.
You don't. No. Emergency procurement. Okay. So, I'll wait for my question later. All right. Thank you. Sorry, Mr. Green. I just wanted to clarify that in my mind.
No problem. I just want to make sure I understand because there were emergency procurements right last summer and the current one. So did Department of Public Health have a role in either of those in selecting the vendor?
No.
Okay. last summer, you were aware that after informing Basil that they were being suspended because they didn't have a HACCP plan, you were aware that SH also did not have a HACCP plan.
That's correct.
Could you repeat that again?
Sure. Last summer the Department of Public Health informed Basil was being suspended for not having a HACCP plan, was he aware that SH at that time also did not have a HACCP plan?
I'm sorry, object to that because that's asking an answer. That's saying that they
Well,
suspended
I would like
because...
to re-clarify. I'm the public auditor. I need to make sure I understand.
Okay.
I apologize.
Should I?
One more time.
Okay, sure. Last summer after you, the department suspended Basil because it did not have a HACCP plan, were you aware that SH also did not have a HACCP plan?
I think after they received the procurement.
You then became aware
right.
that they did not have one.
Which procurement was this?
The first emergency.
There was an emergency last year?
That's the exhibit when they suspended Basil last summer. They did an emergency procurement.
When you say last summer, meaning 2015?
2015.
We're not following their HACCP plan.
Right.
Not that they didn't have one.
Last summer in July, and that's exhibit 10, the Department of Public Health suspended Basil for not having a HACCP plan. And I think it's on the record that they issued an emergency procurement to SH, which did not have a HACCP plan at that time.
So just to clarify your comment, and that's in exhibit 10, Basil was suspended because it did not have a HACCP plan. So the emergency procurement was given to?
To SH, which did not have.
Which also did not have a HACCP plan. And whose decision was that to have the emergency procurement?
I could ask.
Was that GSA's decision to do the emergency procurement?
Yes.
And was GSA aware also at that time that SNH did not have a HACCP plan?
No.
But can I clarify that?
Yes.
Please. SH Enterprises at the time that they were awarded this, okay, had not been providing services for quite some time to susceptible populations. So a vendor has 60 days to develop and comply with a HACCP plan. So at the time they may not have had one. They get 60 days to make sure that they put one in place.
So even despite the fact that this is a requirement, it's okay to give a new vendor who has no HACCP plan the opportunity to serve food to a very delicate population.
That's
even
right.
though they know, because you're giving this new vendor a break because he's new.
That's correct.
Just to clarify, is it because there's new, or would it also be considered because there's an emergency and the time and resources are of the essence as well?
Well, you can ask that question on
okay.
cross exam. I just have one brief question, Mr. Gillen. So you're requiring the vendor to have a certified person create the HACCP, is that correct?
That's correct.
Is any certification required by the Department of Public Health and Social Services for the people employed by DPHSS who are reviewing the HACCP plan?
There are elements in the food code that we would...
Well, I understand the food code.
We do
and
not
that
have a certified HACCP person.
So it's just any... It's just a box you check that this HACCP was produced in accordance with the food code by someone on a listed as certified.
That's correct.
Okay. So, but the Department of Public Health and Social Services, they don't have any qualified persons actually reviewing these HACCP plans. Is that correct?
Licensed.
Licensed person.
That's correct.
Thank you. Please proceed, Ms. Uriarte.
Thank you. Last summer, if you could turn Exhibit 38 in the binder. Do you recall this memorandum, Mr. Dillon? Exhibit 38, which is of July 15, 2015. Mm-hmm.
This is a memorandum?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Do you recall this document?
I'm sorry, Exhibit 8?
38.
I'm sorry. Okay, thank you.
You recall this memorandum, Mr. Yes. Yes, okay. So this was in response to a Freedom of Information Act request. At this point, July 15, SH was already providing the emergency services last summer. Is that correct?
I believe so.
Okay. So this is a memorandum you received from Mr. Nadeau confirming that no vendor providing food for the elderly has a HACCP plan. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. At that point, realizing that SH did not have a HACCP plan, you didn't try to seek out a new contractor to provide these services?
You know, again, I don't understand all the arcane things that go on at GSA, but it's very difficult for us. Okay, as the contracting agency to be looking for other vendors when there's already an emergency procurement in place. So the short answer is no.
May I interject?
Yes.
Wouldn't it be incumbent, though, upon public health as to do their own due diligence and to raise concerns to GSA who contracted with this vendor? Hey, wait a minute. You know, we just suspended somebody who doesn't have a plan. Why are you giving this procurement to someone who also doesn't have a plan? I mean, isn't that the duty and the responsibility in administering a federal program to ensure that the food meets code, and that isn't that the obligation of public health to make sure that that happens correctly?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So why didn't public health raise some concerns?
Well, again,
No, the question is, why did public health not raise concern?
We still had, the emergency vendor still had time to develop the HACCP plan.
Did the emergency vendor, while it was on emergency, develop the HACCP plan?
I believe so.
It did? Well, okay. Find out.
Are we talking about 2015 or
2015.
It was only a 30-day.
It was only a 30-day.
Emergency that I recall.
Within 30 days may not be possible.
It's possible.
All right. But again, just to reiterate, the contract was given because the current vendor's plan was not present, so it was okay to give a new vendor who doesn't have a plan.
Are you asking me a question?
Yes. It's okay to give an emergency contract, because it is an emergency, to a vendor who has no plan.
I don't choose the emergency vendor.
Okay. But again, your obligation as the administrator of this federal grant, was it incumbent upon you to ensure that the regulations and the due diligence was done correctly? and to express concern to the to GSA and the vendor? Was it public health obligation to ensure that this program met federal guidelines and was going to be accomplished correctly? That the food given to the elderly was going to meet appropriate standards?
You're correct.
Thank you.
I just have one quick question now, Mr. Gillen. In July of 2015, how many businesses on Guam had a HACCP that was, you don't know, could you think of one? Or were there any? Would it be fair to say there were none?
I do not know.
Thank you. Please proceed.
Knowing that SH did not have a HACCP plan last summer, did you do anything to review SH's operations to see if they might be in compliance?
I'd have to check and look through the inspection reports.
Could you turn to Exhibit 14 in the binder?
It's a letter to SH Enterprises.
Are you on Exhibit 14?
It says July 18th. Yes. I need to add these things. Are you referring to the inspection report?
Yes, you have that. Exhibit 14. Are you familiar with Exhibit 14?
Well, I didn't do it, but I've seen these forms.
You've seen the form. Have you seen this particular form? So I note that this is based on the date. This is a July 14, 2015 inspection report.
Now, 2015.
On July 14th.
Okay, I see. It just doesn't look like. I thought it says 2000. All right, it looks like a two. 15. Okay. Oh, you're right. You're right.
So this is the form that the Division of Environmental Health uses when it does its inspections?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes, okay. We note that this is for SH Enterprises, correct?
Yes.
Now, usually in the top left corner, you see where there's grade and reading. Yes. Usually those are numbers and there's numbers and letters in there, right?
Right.
Okay, and here, we see an NA that's been written?
Correct.
Okay, but we do see in the top left corner, it looks like either 41 or 42 slash D. Do you know what that is?
This is probably would have been the grade if they had an official inspection. This is probably a courtesy inspection, which we do for a lot of people initially. Getting their operations.
So this is a courtesy inspection that if it was a real inspection, SH would have been given a D. And if they had been given a D officially, they would have been shut down on this date?
Yeah, they would have had their certificate suspended.
Okay.
I think what you find is, again, it's fairly straightforward. If there are violations, now, this is a courtesy one, so we say to people, okay, you've got to get all this stuff squared away. And go back in and do another inspection. Okay, and if there are repeats of these, then those grades become even more important.
So how soon thereafter would an official inspection have occurred?
I don't know, because I think in this one, as it was pointed out, they had a 30-day contract, and then I think Basil was reinstated.
All right, so they would have been given a courtesy 30 days of normal inspection, is that what you're saying?
Or less.
Or less. So you're not aware of any policy that the Division of Environmental Health uses if under a courtesy inspection someone gets a D, how quickly they turn around to see if those have been corrected?
Some of it has to do with the nature of the people we deal with.
What do you
mean? Some require more follow-up than others.
So SH was not of the nature that required immediate
follow-up? It may have been, but I believe that their emergency procurement arrangement ended.
Do you have any awareness if GSA was informed that SH received a D rating on a courtesy inspection while it was servicing the elderly?
I am not aware of that.
Ms. Iriarte, as we've been going now for almost 2 hours straight.
Mr. Kevin,
I'm fine.
You're sure?
Yeah, please. Unless you need.
Well, I'm just going to we're going to go off the record. We're going to take a brief 5-minute recess. Okay. For anybody who needs water, needs to go to the bathroom.
Thank you.
We'll proceed. Okay. So
please stretch out.
Thank you.
Off the record at 10:59. Move the witness stand if you wish, Mr. Dillon. Everybody ready?
Yes.
All right.
Back on the record at 11:03 a.m.
And Mr. Dillon, you're still under oath. And you're still under the direct examination by the appellant, your witness, Ms. Iriarte.
Thank you. Mr.
Eland,
could you turn to Exhibit 13 in the binder? You're familiar with this letter? Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And this letter is advising SH that they have to comply with the HACCP requirements, is that correct?
That's correct.
Was it your expectation that they would comply with this letter?
Within 60 days.
Yeah, was it your expectation they would comply with this letter?
Yes.
Now, let me ask about current day. Now that last summer has passed, is it the current policy of the department to continue to give 60-day grace periods at the current date? For persons who are required to have HACCP plans.
For those that are required to have from the beginning, new ones?
No, actually, any vendor. Is it a requirement that they have a HACCP plan at the time they start providing services?
Any vendor servicing a susceptible population?
Yes.
We give them up to 60 days.
So that's still your current policy?
Yes. However, if they already have one, many sections of it. I don't believe they get 60 days to correct.
Could you turn to exhibit 30?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that, Ms. Ariarte.
Exhibit 30, 30. Written by Mr. Nadeau, correct? Okay. And you said Mr. Nadeau is the head of the Division of Environmental Health.
That's correct.
All right. And now, have you seen this email before on the bottom?
On page one, right?
Page one.
I believe I've seen it. But,
no? Okay. All right. Well, basically, this is dated October 29, 2015. And based on what Mr. Nadeau wrote, it appears that that 60-day time for compliance was established internally to allow existing facilities to transition into the second year of implementing the food code. We cannot justify continued allowance of the same 60-day or even 30-day period of transition. So were you aware of this policy that the Division of Environmental Health had, that they were no longer allowing grace periods?
I'm not, but it seems to be reasonable. Okay.
Now, under the current emergency procurement, are you aware, knowing that SH did not have a HACCP plan as of June 1st, 2016, were you aware of any efforts made by the department or the division to inspect SH to see if it actually met HACCP standards?
Traditional lack of foundation. There's no, I don't think she's elicited any testimony regarding this particular emergency procurement and SH. SH has had a HACCP plan. So I think we've been talking about 2015, so I think we're talking about the 2016 emergency.
Well, she did state, she did ask the question that on June of 2016, are you aware that, what the question was directed to now, whether or not SH has a HACCP now.
Oh, I see. I thought it was with respect at the time the procurement went up, but maybe I misunderstood, so I apologize.
Further, Ms. Tang, I believe that at this point we've already elicited quite a bit of testimony that vendors serving some susceptible populations have to have a HACCP plan. We talked about great 60-day grace periods that are still given with an exception, limited exception. So I'm going to overrule the objection. Ms. Ariarte, please proceed.
So my question was, do you know if the Department of Public Health or Division of Environmental Health, knowing that SH did not have a HACCP plan on June 1st, did they do anything additional?
I'm sorry, they have a HACCP plan, they're just not following it.
Hmm? I'm sorry, I'm talking about June 1st, 2016 with SH. Are you aware if SH had a HACCP plan on June 1st, 2016?
No.
They did not have?
Not that I believe they did not have.
Okay. This is important. Just to clarify again, could you repeat what you just said for the record?
SH did not have a HACCP plan.
As of?
What was
the date was June 1st, 2016.
Okay. So, Mr. Gillum, you are aware now, I guess, that SH does not have a HACCP plan as of June 1st, 2016?
At that time, yes.
And this is the time on June 1st that the emergency procurement was issued?
That's correct.
So does SH, it is now August 15th, does SH have, I'm sorry, yes, does SH have an asset plan?
I believe they do.
You believe they do?
They do, July 27th.
Okay, well, let the witness testify.
Okay, thank you.
Now, just as a follow-up question, Mr. Gillen, because I know you're the director of the Department of Public Health and Social Services, but with the Division of Environmental Services, I believe, would the head of that division have more knowledge as to the exact dates of inspections and HACCP qualification?
Yes.
Thank you. Please proceed.
Thank you.
Let me ask my question again, because I'm not sure. Before I, who is the current head of the Division of Environmental?
Mr. Tom Nadeau.
Thank you very much. Please proceed. Now, you may re-ask your question, Ms. Ariarte.
Okay, thank you. So are you aware, Mr. Gillen, if the Department of Public Health or the Division of Environmental Health did anything to inspect SH after June 1st, 2016, knowing that it was the provider, but not having a HACCP plan?
I do not know that personally.
Okay. Now, you did receive a complaint after SH started providing services that meals were not being sealed. Do you remember that?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I received a complaint.
I'm sorry, so let me ask you, do you know the requirement that meals must be sealed?
Yes.
Okay, under this program?
Yes.
All right. Okay, and so if we look at Exhibit 41, you recall this memo from you to the chief procurement officer?
I do now.
Okay, and it's talking about a complaint about the meals not being sealed.
Correct.
Okay. Now, what it says here is that the complaint was about meals not being sealed on June 3rd, 2016. On June 23rd, 2016, there was an on-site visit. So to your knowledge, had any visits been done around June 3rd or the start of the services that would have allowed public health to understand what SH was doing as a provider without a HACCP plan in place?
No, I don't. I believe all that's been cured.
I'm sorry?
I believe it's been cured, but I don't know personally.
Let me ask you about some of the financials of the services at stake. Who controls, I'm sorry, who develops the budget for this program? Is there a budget?
There's a budget, yes.
There's a budget, okay. And who develops that budget?
Well, we do.
The Department of Public Health?
Yes.
Right. And you control the price, you control how much the government is willing to spend?
No.
Okay.
We generally base the budget on what we have been paying, and assuming that, given the term of the contract, whether it's 2 or 3 year contract, that price is pretty well fixed, except for probably for the health and welfare benefit. Sometimes be adjusted, but so So that was based upon the price that was awarded, that was given in the bid that was awarded.
Okay. Are you aware of the price that the government is paying SH under the emergency procurement?
It's almost twice to three times what we were paying.
Are you aware of who else bid on the original services back in 2014?
Way back. I don't think any of our team participated in the negotiation.
Are you aware that SH was one of the four bidders? I'm sorry, are you aware that there were four bidders?
Okay, I think Ms. Iriarte, he's already testified that he doesn't recall who bid on the original contract. Can we please move on?
All right, so knowing that government's paying SH two to three times what it paid to Basil, are you surprised that GSA only contacted one vendor for these emergency services?
I'm not surprised.
Did the department develop a budget specifically for these emergency services?
No.
Okay, let me ask about your declaration of substantial.
Could I go back, a follow-up of that question, please? This program is primarily 100% federally funded?
There is some local money.
Okay. Approximately how much to you, the best of your recollection?
I do not know. Overall, the government of Guam subsidizes all of the senior citizens programs way overmatches, probably 9-1.
When you say
it's
9-1?
Very minimal federal money in senior programs, except for the meals program.
So if I understand you, in general, we're talking the senior citizens program that the mayors are currently sponsoring or handling.
Yes.
Okay. And that of those aspects of the senior citizens program, it's only the meals aspect, or generally substantially the meals portion, is federally funded.
Right. Yes.
Okay. So any shortfall in the federal portion of the meals, who will bear that shortfall?
We will.
We will. Who is we?
The department.
The department, and therefore Gov Guam. Yeah. And therefore Gov Guam in overall. To the best you had said, when did you become aware that the price was significantly more during the emergency period?
As soon as it was awarded.
As soon as, did you express any concern to GSA about the price?
No.
No. Did you express any concern to your people about the price?
Of course. I mean, we all, you know, are very concerned about the increase and what we would have to do with our, our internal budget to try to find the funds.
And what will you have to do about your internal budget?
We'll have to move money from other categories into that.
And do you have money to move?
We have enough to make it through the rest of this fiscal year.
Okay. So you have enough to continue this program through the through the rest of the fiscal year?
And we did testify at the budget hearing for 17 that this might continue.
What might continue?
Did you need some waters?
No, I'm fine.
Okay.
What might continue?
That this emergency procurement might continue. Because of the emergency procurement, we have been advised by the Attorney General's office that we can't even prepare bid documents until this is resolved. So we're looking, you know, at least a few more months, if anything. Again, background, 2 years ago when we signed the doc, signed off on the bid documents, the prices.
Who signed off?
We had to sign off on that we had, you know, the prices were what the prices were. And if you want to find those documents, you'll see my notes saying, I am very concerned about the price. It's too low.
Which price was too low?
For both congregate and home delivered. From
under Basil?
From under Basil.
You felt the price was too low?
We've been in this business for quite a while, Mrs. Brooks, and we kind of know what it takes,
sure,
to deliver these meals. You can't even go downtown and buy a one choice, two choice for the price that's being offered. So we were really concerned about the price.
What about today under the current arrangement with S&H?
I think it's high, but it's understandable given the fact that these, you know, they could be terminated at any time if we were successful in an ongoing bid. So they're month to month, so I understand that. I think it's high. It hurts. It hurts us financially because of the price, but I understand.
But the price, given your prior, in other words, one was too low, maybe this one's slightly too higher? Is that a fair statement to say?
It's quite high.
It's quite high. But the current price under Basil was significantly lower.
I don't know how they do it. That business.
Thank you for that clarification.
Third, Council.
Are you aware that after Basil had the original award on the original contract, that there was a protest on their price being too low and that GSA found that it was okay?
I was not aware of a protest.
Now, going back to the prior question I had about the budget, I noticed if you look at Exhibit 5 on page 2, email, May 26, 2015, from Charlene Sinicholas to Jeanette Gomez. Could you tell us what are the positions of Charlene Sinicholas and Jeanette Gomez?
Charlene and Jeanette work at the Division of Senior Citizens. They oversee all of these programs.
Okay. Are you familiar with this email between the two of them talking about projections for the meal rates? Last full email on the bottom on the second page. Exhibit 5, second page. First full email on the bottom. Are you familiar with these projections made by the Division of Senior Citizens?
No. I don't believe that's what we're paying.
I'm sorry?
I don't believe that's the price we're paying.
That's right. I'm just asking because I asked you about budget. So if you knew what anyone in your department had put together as a budget, you did not know. Okay, now if we turn to Exhibit 21, which is your Declaration of Substantial Interest. Exhibit 2-1, 21.
request the auditor for an extension.
Of the emergency services?
While this thing is under protest, because we still have to feed people no matter what. Home on, especially 7 days a week.
Now, when I read through this, I didn't see any discussion on cost. Would you agree that cost is an important aspect of the substantial interest test?
Substantial interest to me is to get getting these people fed.
Okay. So there is no discussion of cost to the government in here?
You know, I know there are a lot of people talking around that, but that's not what we're in the business for. Thank you.
There's also no discussion here or notice to the public auditor that only one bidder had been contacted for emergency services, correct?
Not sure. Not that it's not to do with anything. No.
No. Okay. Can I just mention something for the record? On the second paragraph of this memorandum talks about, on the last sentence, a second purchase order issued.
Which page?
First page, exhibit 21.
Second paragraph. All right.
It talks about a second purchase order. That's not in the procurement record. So we would object or state for our objection for the record that the procurement record was not complete in the sense that we don't have a record of this second or any other.
Let me inquire real quick. So, Mr. Toft, is there the second purchase order that's mentioned here?
Yes, there is.
Okay, that would have to, you have a duty to supplement the procurement record. I know that tends to be a more recent purchase order. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
All right, you'd have to supplement the procurement record with that document. Make sure you serve a copy of that to the other parties. All right, how soon do you think you can do that? By tomorrow?
Well, I will not be in the office much today.
No, by tomorrow.
But it's trying to get somebody to get it together. I'll try to get it by tomorrow.
By tomorrow at 5?
Oh, by 5? Are we going to be here all day? Or just at 12?
Hopefully not, but I anticipate that might occur. We'll see. Okay.
I think we could get it by, well, if we end at 12, for sure I'll get it by 5.
All right, so by 5 tomorrow. Okay.
If we end by 12, yes.
By 12 tomorrow? Okay,
Yes, 12 tomorrow. Do you, I'm sorry.
I'm just going to give the purchasing agency or contracting agency, in this case, a deadline to provide that document, supplement the procurement record no later than 5 p.m. tomorrow. Okay. Now, if you need more time tomorrow, you can request it, but that's my order today. All right?
All right.
Thank you. Please proceed.
Actually reference something in the procurement record. I'm sorry, I don't have it in my exhibit book.
Which label?
What is the document?
It is a declaration made under penalty of perjury, tab 10 of the procurement record. I'm just looking for which procurement record. Okay, so if you go to OPAPA 16-8, tab 10.
What's the heading?
The first page of tab 10, well, tab 10 is request for emergency procurement, And if you go to the first page, there's a memo, May 31, 2016?
Correct.
Okay. So if you go two pages after that, there's a declaration regarding compliance. That's it. Let me see if I have one for those.
Two pages?
Two pages back. Is there another one for
Yes,
the
by James Gillen?
Yes.
Did you show that to the other parties before you showed it to the witness? Because that's not an exhibit that they would have received. What's the Bates number on that, please?
There's none.
There's none? Okay, very well.
This one,
we're
talking about this one?
Yeah.
This one, right there.
Yeah, there you go. I don't have an extra one for the witness.
Yes, this is him. Yes.
No, it's a declaration.
Yes.
Okay. It's executed by Leo Casil, correct?
That's correct.
But it's under your name. Okay. What is the Leo Casil's title?
He's the Deputy Director.
Of the Department of Public Health.
And Social Services.
Social Services. Did you authorize him to make this declaration?
He was acting director at the time, yeah.
Okay. So, I'm sorry, so he was acting director, so he didn't need your authority? Or?
When he's acting, he is director.
Okay. Are you aware that he executed this declaration under your name?
Yes.
Did you become aware of it at the time or prior to him signing it?
Probably afterwards.
After? So who's actually making this declaration? Is it you or him?
It's me, basically.
It's you. But you didn't know about it until after he had signed it.
What is the question?
Did you know that he was signing it before he signed it on your name?
Did I know he was signing it before he signed it?
Okay.
Yep.
Mr. Gillen, can you please get closer to your microphone?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're trying to preserve the transcript. Please proceed.
Did you know that he was going to sign this under your name?
As I said, as acting director, wherever he signs, he's signing as the director.
Okay. Well, I'm just trying to make clear because it's a declaration under penalty of perjury. Mm-hmm. So who is actually declaring under penalty of perjury, you or him?
He's doing it for me, so it's me.
You. All right. Now, according to this declaration, there is an estimate that the emergency procurement services would be less than $500,000. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And so what information did you know before he signed on your behalf as to how much it would cost per month?
Okay, I would assume that this is after we've already decided that we were going to select or we're going to have SNH or SH. SH.
Okay, so what information?
Okay, so based upon the difference between what we were paying Basil Foods and what the emergency price was, you take that difference and multiply it out over the number of meals. This is, I'm sure what their estimate was, that it's less than 500,000.
Okay.
And under emergency procurement, I'm not sure, you don't have the time to go through this whole bid process where, if we said it's $500,000 or more, I don't know where the AG fits in that, if we were gonna do an emergency procurement under. It's just one of those, the way that procurement laws are written sometimes put you in a pretty difficult situation, but I think if you looked at the difference between what the price was from the previous vendor and then the increase, that difference would still be less than $500,000.
Okay, so what if I told you for the months of July and August it would have been above $500,000? Does that concern you?
Okay, but these are two different procurements, right?
If you look at that declaration, sir, references
you're right.
Three procurements on one, right?
Okay,
so it's incorporating all three procurements. So does it concern you that in July and August that the price you were paying was above $500,000?
Does it concern me? It always concerns me when I have to pay more.
Right.
Okay, but...
Because it says in that declaration that you were to contact the AG's office and not proceed further if the estimate increased to above $500,000, but that wasn't done in this case. fact that it increased above 500,000 was also not reported to the public auditor. Yes or no?
I guess.
It was not?
No.
Those are the questions I have at this time.
Mr. Toft, your witness. Cross-examination.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Gillen. At the outset, I want to ask one very simple question. Was the fact that Basil didn't have a qualified hazard plan in place in July of 2015 the only reason that Public Health canceled their contract in this year, 2016?
Objection, Public Health is not the contracting agency.
I'll reword it. Is the fact that Basil did not have a qualified hazard plan in place in July of 2015, was that the only reason considered for Public Health's decision to request for GSA to terminate the contract in 2016?
In 2016?
Yes.
No.
The Guam Food Code was created or implemented, sorry, in 2014, is that correct?
That's correct.
Did Department of Environmental Health, had they provided any training workshops in prior to the implementation of the food code on the requirements of the code? The
division held several workshops on HACCP requirements.
That included HACCP requirements in those workshops? Okay. So that was in 2013?
Probably
or beginning of 2013.
You know, that whole thing, a series of meetings with stakeholders, a lot of people involved in this business, you know, from restaurateurs to institutional vendors to all kinds of people. So
okay.
The HACCP awareness was being made at that time.
Okay. Was Basil Foucault invited to?
I don't know. We'd have to look at the record.
Okay.
I think at that time it was Lee Quinn.
Okay. Do you believe that they were aware that the food code was being updated?
I think they should be. Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to look at the attendance records.
Okay. You had stated in the earlier testimony about the conflict of interest with regards to naming individuals who could certify HACCP plans. Why was it that the representative from the Guam Food Safety Task Force was not given out as a name to people who had inquired about the availability of qualified HACCP qualifiers?
It's generally been the way that at least the Division of Environmental Health is always operated, that they don't like to be seen as, you know, being maybe accused or, you know, talked about as, hey, you know, you're giving this name, but you're not giving this name. So we just didn't want to be seen as, you know, preferring one over the other. We probably should have just given somebody a sheet of names that said you choose, but that's, you know, that's DEH's policy.
Okay.
But I think we finally did relent on that because it was getting so close, you know, to the deadlines that, and the fact that in this case, Basil, first certifying agent, didn't do a very good job. They said, you know, there's a guy over at GCC you might want to talk to.
Yeah. Were other retail food establishments able to certify their HACCP plan without help from Environmental Health?
Sodexo, to point one, especially.
There was a meeting that Basil had with Environmental Health on July 1st, 2015, in which
there were now more than one individuals on this list of the number of qualified individuals. Was that presented to Basil on that July 1st, 2015 meeting?
I wasn't there, but I'm going to say yes.
Okay. Did they use anyone off that list for their initial certification?
For the initial, for their first try? I think that's when they used the person in California.
Okay, so they were given the list, but they didn't use the person, anyone off that list?
I think at that time there was some difficulty contacting the ones that, that were at GCC.
Okay.
And I don't think they were available at that time. But I don't know whether they attempted even to contact them.
Okay, so, but Public Health had attempted to assist them in providing them a list of passive providers.
Yes.
Okay. Is it the responsibility of each of the individual food establishments to develop their own HACCP plan?
Yes.
Now, you had issued a letter to Basil on March 11th of 2015. That, I think that was exhibit, in the General Services Joint Exhibit list here, Exhibit C number 20. Yeah, that one. Exhibit C number 20. It's the March 11th letter.
Wait, you said 20, so.
Exhibit C, page
20. Exhibit C, page 20.
Exhibit C?
Yes.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Apologies. And in that, at the end of the letter, it said that the that Basil was granted 45 days to submit a HACCP plan to Division of Environmental Health. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Now that was extended. There's a second letter that went out, not specifically to Basil, but to sanitary permit holders established at elementary school cafeterias. I'm looking now at Exhibit C, page 30, and food establishments serving to highly susceptible populations. And at the end of that one, page 31, it said we gave them an additional 60 days from that time. So did you consider that to be an extension of that initial 45 days?
More than generous.
Okay.
Yes.
So that was a second extension granted to Basil at that time.
And I think, Council, that it had a lot to do with everybody still up against trying to get this done. There weren't a lot of people available to do the certification process with them, so
okay.
You know, we tried to be as flexible as we could.
Okay. And I'll turn your attention now to Exhibit C number 54. Is a letter from you on April 28th, in which Basil, Exhibit C, page 54. This is a response to a letter from Mr. Michael Zhao, in which it states that Mr. Zhao had requested another extension. So you identified the date of June 3rd as their deadline to come into compliance. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And now, the very next page, exhibit C number 55, there is an inspection of Basil Food Service. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And on that inspection, the grade listed there is a B, correct?
That's correct.
And on line 26 of that, it says conformance with approved procedures. Says compliance with any specialized process and a HACCP plan, and it says they're out of compliance. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And that's worth, how many points is that demerit worth?
That's six.
6 points. Now, a demerit of 6 points is not in and of itself enough to knock a
grade of an inspection from an A to a B, is it?
No, it's not.
How much, what is the grade scale from an A to a B?
You know, it's gonna depend upon.
Just the numbers, I understand, we'll get to that, I just need the numbers for now.
You'd have to get that from.
Okay, we'll get to that later, but a B grade was given on that date, is that correct?
Yeah, I think when you get more serious is when they repeat.
Yeah, I'm getting to that, so I'll turn your attention now to page 57 of Exhibit C, and this is a follow-up inspection. Now, this follow-up inspection, it looks like the rating on this is a C, is that correct?
That's correct.
What is the policy for how grading is affected by repeat risk violations?
Let's see, if you can B to a C.
So on page 58 in the observations, the officer stated that the downgrade was due to a repeat violation of item number 26. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Is it the policy of the office to downgrade if there is a repeat violation of
yes.
the letter grade?
Yes.
Okay. And that's across the board. That's not just in this specific
no.
instance. Does public health have the discretionary authority to suspend a sanitary permit regardless of a letter grade for repeated violations of the health code?
Yes.
Okay. Or for any condition at an establishment that creates an imminent public danger?
Yes.
So at this June 15th inspection, the grade was a C at that time. So under the terms of the contract, public health could have canceled the contract at that time due to the C grade.
That's correct.
But it did not do so at that time.
Did not.
And this was after the June 3rd due date of obtaining a HACCP certification.
Yes.
If I could turn your attention to Exhibit C, page 60. There's a letter that went out to Mr. Zhao from you informing them that you had received a HACCP plan, but it seemed disjointed compared to their standing operating procedure. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Can you tell me what the discrepancies were that caused major concern?
Everything that's in those bullet points.
Okay. So it's not just enough to have a HACCP plan, it has to be actually followed?
You have to follow it.
Okay.
And I think, again, we pointed that out earlier, that you can go in and scour the place so it's squeaky clean, but if you go in and observe the operation, that's the most important part.
Okay.
But just for clarification, Mr. Gillen, that is dated July 1st, 2015, that letter.
Yes,
yeah, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that's our honor about the first time they're finally submitting it and getting it to you. Does Basil now have a current HACCP plan that is approved?
They have approved.
And do you know when or on or about when that happened?
No, I don't.
Okay. So this has been more than a year ago?
Yes. So just to recap, they had the trainings that were provided by Public Health, the March 11th letter, the March 26th letter, the April 28th response to the extension, the inspection on June 4th, the inspection on June 15th follow-up, and a letter on July 1st, all prior to the initial suspension of the sanitary permits. If I can. If I could turn your attention to Exhibit C, page 6. Now, this appears to be a food establishment inspection report from November of 2014 of Basil Food Service. And the grade is given NA. What's the general policy that Public Health has on when it grades, or do you know why they would not have graded this particular food report?
It may have been courtesy.
Okay. Is that courtesy given to?
It's given to most new.
When they're first.
Establishments.
Okay.
You know, they would ask, "Can you come in and take a look at our place?"
Okay.
So we do it, and then we show them what, you know, what they would have had if we actually had an official grading.
Okay, and on that food report on line 26, the conformance with the HACCP plan is circled NA, is that correct?
At that time, yes.
So that wouldn't have been counted towards the
2014
potential score. Okay.
I'd like to object to this exhibit. It's not part of the reason that GSA gives on the contract termination.
I'm trying to establish the fact that Public Health does operate fairly and affords the opportunity of an unscored report to more than just SH Corporation, which is the allegation in one of the.
I'm going to overrule the objection.
Okay.
You can answer the question.
So the question was whether the line 26, when the compliance with the HACCP plan was circled not applicable, that did not count towards the grade?
No.
Okay. And then on page 9, the total demerits at the bottom circled is 62. Is that correct? Okay. Do you know off the top of your head how many demerits it would take to obtain a D rating?
It'd be less than 62.
Okay.
Again, there are some that are more egregious than others, and you may get less than a 62 and still have a permit.
Oh. But they're given corrective actions then because it's a non-graded, so it doesn't count. It's sort of like a we're just checking you out and telling you what's wrong, what needs to be corrected.
That's correct.
Okay.
Before we proceed, as we're approaching 12, and Mr. Kono does have his very important appointment to attend to. What was the reason that you could not proceed this afternoon, Mr. Koch?
I believe I could proceed with Mr. Gilliam and try and finish his testimony. My concern is that subsequent testimony would likely involve Mr. Kono specifically.
Okay, but we're still on Ms. Iriarte's case in chief, and I think we still have a battery of witnesses waiting downstairs.
That would be right. My next witness, I'm thinking, will be Ms. Del Mundo.
All right. So we still need to finish with Mr. Gillen. And so when, how long of a lunch do you need?
How long are we going to continue this afternoon if we were to go straight through?
How long? Are we going all the way to 5 o'clock p.m. this afternoon when we come back? Yes?
I believe we could, if it's going
to
be Mr. Gillen and Ms. Del Mundo.
Okay. Let's go to 2 and then we'll finish by 4:30.
So we come back at 2?
Yeah, let's come back at 2.
All right, we're going to return at, we're going to break for lunch. We are going to come back at 2 o'clock. We will pick up with the cross-examination of Mr. Gillen by the purchasing agency. And We need the AG's office, or excuse me, the OPA to also advise the witnesses downstairs. They need to, they can be released, but they come back at 2.
Well, in the likelihood, I don't know how many witnesses are there. After Mr., should we finish with Mr. Gillum, who would be your next witness?
Ms. Dumbledore.
And how long do you think she would take?
I'm estimating about an hour.
Okay, and who would be the next witness after that?
It would be Betty De La Cruz from Basel.
So those would really be the only two witnesses that we should ask to stay back. Everybody else we should release and to come back tomorrow at 9 o'clock.
Yes.
Okay.
That'll work.
Catherine Delmondo.
Okay. And we will read the journal today.
And we're going to be, just so the parties know, we will end this proceeding at 4:30 this afternoon. Okay?
And then start tomorrow night.
Mr. Gillum, I hope you're out of here well before then. Okay.
Thank you.
All right, so we are going to take a break for lunch. We are off the record at noon.